other places we're seeing, other cities in state primaries and others, we're seeing single-digit voter turnouts. We're also seeing turnouts in the teens and the 20s. I think we really have to look at the impact that the winner-take-all system is having on this. When there isn't a lot of choice for voters, when there's not a lot of competition, when all these districts are done deals, when the party leaders are sitting back and looking at the military political map, so to speak, and figuring out, okay, we're going to try to mobilize voters over here because it's a close race, but over here we just can forget about them. You know, these things are all having a cumulative effect. And I really think we have to get a handle on these if we're going to really understand what's happening to our political system and how most voters really are being sliced and diced right out of the political process. And again, just to emphasize the role that technology is playing in this, with both in the redistricting process, where they have really precise and sophisticated computers, powerful computers and software that can take the demographic data and draw these districts in very precise ways, and then also in the campaign process with the polling and the focus groups. There was a great anecdote of at the 1996 Republican National Convention when Bob Dole gave his acceptance speech beneath the cavernous floor of the convention hall. There was an operation going on where they're using dial-meter groups. I don't know if many people even know what these are. I didn't really know, and I follow politics until I started doing the research for this book. Dial-meter groups is where you give voters a dial, and you have them watch a TV ad, a political ad, or you have them listen to a speech, and every time they hear something they like, they crank the dial to the right. And every time they hear something that they don't like, they crank it to the left. And they keep track of these reactions on the computer. And so when Dole was making his acceptance speech, they were keeping track of it in several different states, in several different cities, what people thought about his speech, and coming up with the campaign themes that they were going to use. And of course, had already done this before he even got to the podium with his acceptance speech. But they're continually doing this. And they take this information, and they figure out what words, what concepts are going to make the swing voters jump, right? And so some people said, well, you know, this use of polling and focus groups, maybe that means the politicians are being responsive. They're listening to us. And you know, some people have actually proposed this idea. But there's a great book out by two researchers, Jacobs and Shapiro. I forget the name of the book, but I cite it in my book, in which the research that they did showed that, no, it's not that they are being responsive, but they're figuring out the words and the notions to sell to you what they want you to go along with, to sell to you the policies that they want to pursue, but they're figuring out how to sell them to you so that you will like them. And so you get things like compassionate conservatism, New Democrat, all these sorts of labels that we've heard lately. These are terms that all came out of this process. The contract with America that the Republican Party put out, every word in that had been polled and focus grouped. The word Republican was taken out of that contract with America because it didn't test well. Words like empowerment were taken out because it didn't test well. The word contract was decided we're going to use that because it did test well. And so, you know, this is going on all the time. As one pundit said, you know, Bill Clinton really pioneered this. He knows polling like Barney knows purple. And I think it's true of both sides that they are doing this all the time because this is, in a sense, where the mad science, as I call it in the book, of winner-take-all campaigns is going. And the mad scientists of winner-take-all campaigns, the political consultants, are driving it. Single-digit voter turnout, campaigns that are quickly demobilizing people, not a lot of representation for people, not a lot of choice. One of the other areas I look at is legislative policy. There's a couple of chapters there where I go through different legislative debates over the last 4 years and show how winner-take-all incentives were really polluting the debates as well as the bills that came out. But just to give you a few examples, for instance, as a state like Illinois, where the legislature has tilted Republican, there's not a lot of incentive for the Republican Party to do anything for cities like Chicago and Urbana and Peoria because they don't win seats there. You know, they know that Democrats win Chicago, Republicans win downstate, DuPage County and places like that. And so the incentive to do something for cities is not great. And similarly, if the Democrats are in control, they know where they win their seats. And so that's where, you know, the pork goes. And so you're seeing these splits, these city, suburban and rural splits that are really being exacerbated by all the new ways of these new campaign technologies and what have you in the winner-take-all system, where these different demographic areas, these different geographic areas, are really being, in a sense, pitted against each other for funding of schools and transportation and all these sorts of things. I mean, you look at where the issue of health care went. It's not about people who don't have insurance, 43 million people without insurance anymore. There was some talk about that in the early 90s, but we saw what happened with that effort by the Clinton administration. So now the polls and the focus groups and the information and the incentives of how you win have driven it to people who still have insurance for the patient's Bill of Rights. And that's because the two parties have figured out, you know, the swing voters in these particular, in whatever election they're going after, this is the issue they care about. They may be concerned about people not having health insurance, but they're not going to vote on that issue. They're going to vote on their own health insurance. So that's where the debate has gone. And so without any kind of another party in there to raise the issue of health care for the 43 million, most of them children, without health care, it's pretty much been pushed off the table in terms of policy and campaign discussion. Looking at the impeachment that occurred, a few years ago, it was a great example of how a legislature can really divorce from what the public wants because of the incentives of a winner-take-all system. So you had, you know, anywhere from 60% to 70% of the public saying, yeah, they don't like what Clinton did, but they also don't think he should be impeached. You know, stop this pursuit. But it was driven forward anyway, and it was driven forward by Republicans in safe seats. These are Republicans that did not have to worry about career repercussions for what they were doing, and they were consciously picked for that purpose. I mean, they can do that today. They can look at which districts are safe, which issues they don't have to worry about, and they pick people to go after those issues depending on how it's going to play in their district. And so you saw in the impeachment process what I call the pit bulls in the book, going after, in this case, the impeachment of a president because they did not have to worry about their own careers in their districts and because they found that the polls told them it played well with their base, even if it didn't play well with the national polls. I mean, increasingly, in the winner-take-all system and the dynamics and the incentives of it, national polls have less and less meaning because so much of the politicking is coming down to geographic areas. And how do you win just a handful of seats in the U.S. House? And how do you win a handful of states in the presidential election? Looking at remember the Cuban boy Elian and what happened there? I mean, there's no question that it was all about geographics. And it was about our winner-take-all way of electing the president. And where each state, you know, you don't even have to have a majority in the state. You just have to have more votes than anyone else. You get all the electoral college votes for that state. That's a winner-take-all method. And so in the presidential election, as I've already mentioned, just a handful of states were going to decide the election. Florida was one of them. So Florida, also being a big state, suddenly becomes a big prize in the presidential sweepstakes. So suddenly you had, you know, Al Gore going against President Clinton and Janet Reno and what they were trying to do, going down to Florida because he knew that was going to be a big state in his presidential election. And again, this kind of targeting goes on in a very geographic way. So now we see President Bush campaigning in those states where he did well, like South Dakota and North Dakota, but where there are Democratic senators. So he's doing his stumping right, you know, he's been doing it for a year and a half by geography. You see the European Union enacting trade retaliations against us, and they're doing it by geography. It's really quite fascinating to see this. They picked out some products to retaliate against us in the trade war that's going on based on how they thought it was going to affect Republican efforts and Bush's efforts for re-election. And so this kind of stuff is going on all the time, and it's really a product of our winner-take-all political system and how you can target things so much better today with these new technologies.